With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, and welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. It's great to be back. We have a great episode today with Emma Doran, comedian, that's been on the rise lately here in Dublin. And, well, we chat about some great stuff. The main body of the conversation is about Emma getting pregnant at 18, and she's just great at telling the story of the stress of that. She was in her Leaving Cert year, in fact. Well, I won't give away too much, but we basically chat about that, and it's super interesting. Also, because people seem to plug their gigs at the beginning of their podcasts, I've noticed, listening to a few of the Irish podcasts, and the gig plugs seem to come at the beginning. I'm in Tullamore tomorrow night. If anybody's around, you want to come. It's the very last night of the Take the Points tour. I'm in Clonmel tonight, but there's no tickets for that. But I am in, well, you can try the hotel, but Tullamore, there are definitely tickets tomorrow night if you want to check that out. And then the 2020 dates for Mia Mama are on sale, desbishop.com or desbishop.net/tour dates. Check that out, or just hit me up on Instagram at desbishop. Anyway, this is Emma Doran chatting about her life. Such a cool lady. Back in a sec. So let's find out a little bit about Emma Doran's backstory, which I accidentally found out a little bit already while you were making tea.
Oh, yeah. Backstory. So,
well, you're from Dublin, yeah?
I'm from Dublin, yeah. And I started comedy when I was 29. So
where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Rathfarnham. We started off in Talla. I think my family was there for about 14 something years or whatever, and I was 6 and we moved to Rathfarnham. So like
Of a step up. Not that you want to insult the Talla people.
No, it's definitely a step up in terms of like the house and everything, but I was I remember being like devastated to leave because I thought our road was so cool, and actually was, because when we moved to Rathfarnham they were definitely a bit bitchier.
Right,
they really were.
So with wealth comes...
Yeah, bitchiness. And I remember actually girls on the road talking about weight. And I had that kind of stuff had never crossed my mind.
Wow.
So there was like, it was
a distinct difference.
Yeah.
You noticed it.
Yeah,
interesting,
yeah.
That they... And do you think that was, you were just unlucky with that group? I guess with a group,
yeah,
I guess with a
possibly.
Road, it can be one or two like ringleaders.
That's
can,
true,
can
yeah.
Guide the vibe.
Yeah, I mean, because there's only going to be so many people who are girls and your age. So it's kind of look at the draw.
Talking about weight.
Yeah, like it's 7.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, although I'd have to think that we were probably aware of weight, but that came from my parents. My parents were very vain.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Well, my dad's pretty vain. Like he would take pride in it. But my mom, in fairness, she never spoke about like diets or anything like that. So I never thought about weight.
And then suddenly these girls.
Yeah, and I was like, what? I was like, oh. Like, I knew what a fat person. Like, I knew the difference, but it wasn't like.
Yeah, you weren't thinking about your own image.
No.
So that was the beginning of you. That's almost like an innocence lost, becoming conscious of yourself, right?
Yeah.
That was like a moment.
Big style. You can kind of like, it's outer body. I can see myself kind of like looking down at my stomach going, am I fat? I don't know. What's happening? So it was definitely different.
But did you get on okay with that?
Oh, yeah. No, we got on. I got on okay. And so I had to like move school and all that kind of thing. And so basically in Rathfarnham since then. And then.
But you got pregnant young, right?
I got pregnant when I was 18.
18?
Yes.
Wow.
So I was still in school.
Yeah, so you were one of them. You were that girl. Every school has one.
I know. But I think people were shocked. when I got pregnant, I think a lot of people went, fuck, because it wasn't like so basically in school, if somebody gets pregnant, they're either one or another person. They're either the simpleton virgin who you're like, oh my God.
You fucked once and you
didn't. How did that happen to her? Yes. Do you know what I mean? That must have been like, she must have never spoken to a man before and look what happened to her. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or it's either the person who there's been rumors swirling about them for years.
She's a dirty slut.
She's a slut.
Yes.
So it's the, I suppose it's the virgin and, you know.
Yes.
So I was kind of like neither. So I think people were like, fuck, happened to Emma. Oh no. Like no one expected it to happen to me. I fucking didn't. But
you were going out with this guy at the time?
No. So what?
Only share as much as you want.
No, it's fine.
We've talked about it before, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you have to. You see, this is the problem. When you have a kid so young, you have to nearly tell people your story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they're like...
But it's interesting. I actually, funnily enough, I haven't talked to that many people about teenage pregnancies.
Oh, really?
I mean, I read Lynn Moran's book. Like, I've read a few like classic Irish tales of teenage pregnancy, which... Her timeline must be pretty similar to yours. I think her daughter's only a little older than you. But but anyway, that's not to digress. But, you know, I don't think I've had anybody on the podcast that spoke in detail about that.
Oh, really?
18. What year was that?
So 18, it was 2002.
All right,
2000. I got pregnant and then gave birth 2003.
Wow.
So.
You were in a Catholic school?
Mm-hmm. All girls school. And so I was kind of in school. I do enough like to get by, bit of a master, but like nothing crazy, you know, would smoke at break, out of the bike shed, like with all my friends, you know, a little bit of like going on the hop, a few fake notes, nothing crazy.
Nothing crazy.
Nothing crazy. Yeah. Would definitely, you know, would get C's, keep everyone kind of happy enough. Grand. Yeah. And then my friend, her parents had... You're going to laugh now. Her parents had a mobile home in Wexford. And we went down a couple of times at weekends. And
which place in Wexford?
Courtown.
Oh, in Courtown. Great.
Okay. So we went down a few times. And my parents, now I always got on with them really well and still do, but they were really strict. I'm like the only girl. And they were, maybe it was compared to my friends or whatever, but they were super strict. If I wanted to get up to anything, I had to go and sleep in a friend's house because they were just on to me about everything. Like even my mom went round to the local garage to tell them to stop selling me cigarettes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But that was good parenting.
That was good. So it was hard to like get away with stuff with them. So we went down to this mobile in Courtown for a few weekends here and there, like, you know, over midterms. And I loved it because we could do whatever we wanted. And I was like, we're going down during the summer. And my friend Laura was like, okay. So we went down for the summer. We got jobs.
Oh, you went to actually stay?
Yeah. So this is between fifth year and sixth year. So I got a job in a chipper. And it was a chipper and I had a restaurant next door. So I did shifts between the chipper and the restaurant. So I was happy because I got free food. I was like, this is perfect. And then I met this guy. He came in on Leaving Cert results night.
Right. So and August.
Yes. So he came in to like order his food or whatever. And then he came in again. And one of the girls I worked with knew his friend. We invited them back to our mobile. We're going to have a big party. And I kind of saw him for a little while. But I was totally like holiday romance.
Yeah.
You know. And
but you were already like sexually active, right? Like it wasn't like, no, like wasn't not a first experience. Really.
My problem was so I wanted to be like I wanted to be a slut.
Of course, slut is the wrong term.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But this is like, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wanted to be adventurous. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I was definitely like into boys, all that stuff. But my problem was. I don't know if I can say this. The main thing that held me back was ginger pubes. I didn't want people to...
Oh, you were paranoid about your ginger pubes. So you know, you could have just eradicated them.
But you see, back then, nobody did that.
Yeah, I know, it wasn't
that.
A thing. Yeah.
So I was just really conscious about it. So I was like, if I do it in Wexford, it'll be totally cool. You know, like nobody will talk about it. It'll be like, this is how innocent I really was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was all grand. And we kept in touch, but he was going to college in Waterford. And I just like, I got a really bad feeling. I was like, I think I'm pregnant. I was like, only my friend.
And you were having unprotected sex? You
weren't even... No, like he used a condom. So I thought it was all fine.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Something happened anyway. But yeah, I talked to my friend Laura and I was like, I just knew. I was like, fuck. And she's like, no, you won't be. Like, definitely.
And were you late or were you just paranoid?
I got like, what happened was I got a period, but it wasn't like a proper one. So that happens sometimes. Yeah. You get like a fake period or whatever. And I was just like, something's up. So I went into town and bought a pregnancy test because you couldn't buy one locally. Like your mom's friend could come up behind him. Do you know what I mean? Went into town and I went to Stephen's Green Shopping Centre and I went upstairs.
Upstairs to those toilets where you can't shoot heroin. They have the lights.
Yeah. And you have to pay.
You have to pay your 10p.
So I paid, went in and it came up like straight away. And I did that thing of like, you know, I until then I thought it only happened in soaps, but I did that thing of like sliding down the wall, like, like, do you know that thing?
Yeah, fuck. I mean,
where the
huge.
Music goes. I was like, fuck. And then what made it worse is when I got myself like together and I was leaving and I saw a girl from my year with her boyfriend coming up. And this was like, they'd been together for years. Like everyone was like, oh my God, you guys are so going to get married. And there is me like, definitely single and pregnant, and they were all like loved up.
They were probably just about to go in and pee on a pregnancy test themselves.
Probably.
But or she'd been to England already, you know?
To me, I was like, she's so clever and I'm so fucking stupid.
Yes. So, I know. I mean, yeah.
So I'm looking at them going, they've probably been having sex for fucking ages.
And I've just fucked this bog hopper from Wexford and I'm fucking pregnant, and he's not even in a real college. He's in fucking WIT. I'm gonna have a fucking. I'm gonna have an IT baby.
And you know what? He was so country. By the way,
if anybody's offended by that, I'm totally kidding.
He was so country as well. Like, how
was he from Wexford? Like,
he's from Wexford.
I'm gonna fuck the shit out of you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I'm fucking gonna make you pregnant.
He was probably like more innocent than I was. Do you know what I mean? So I think his head just fucking exploded.
Oh, you told him straight away.
I wouldn't say straight away, but I definitely told him like very soon after. Told him before I told my parents, because I felt at the time that it was the right thing to do, like that he should know.
Well, yeah.
So I was, you know, I was being very kind of mature about the whole thing. So I rang him to tell him because I think we had talked about like that we were going to meet up or, you know, yeah, whatever. Sure. And he was like, oh, when are you coming down to Wexford? You know, like say... whenever he like had his midterm and I had a midterm, obviously. And I was like, yeah, I'm pregnant.
That's amazing. I mean, God.
So do you know what he said? I bet you do.
I don't know what he said.
Well.
But did you say, are you sure it's mine?
No. He didn't say that. No. He said that thing. What is? I think even Chris Rock has a joke about it.
I don't know.
Where you go, I'm pregnant. And then if the guy says, what are you going to do?
I don't know that bit.
It's good because when I heard that, I fucking related because I was like, that's what happened to me.
So he said, what are you going to do?
Yeah. So that's kind of when you know, like, I'm here, but I'm going to stand over there. Just, sure. You know, yeah. But so, yeah, that was rocky for a while. And then obviously I had to tell my parents. That was exhausting. But then once I told them, it was actually a lot better because I think... until I told them, my head was completely fucked.
Now, had you thought about going to England and all that?
I did definitely think about it, but I just, because even a woman I used to babysit for, I told her and she's like, I'll adopt the kid. And I was like, that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Do you know? I was like, what? That's not what I want. I wanted somebody to kind of like give me the option of, I'll book the tickets, I'll sort it all out or whatever. But then I knew myself that if I went into the building, I wouldn't go through with it. I just knew that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you go with you, you know?
Yeah, I just knew at that time, for me, I was like, no. I knew that, like, it was kind of, I knew very early on that I was kind of going to go through with it. Whatever was going on at the time, that's what felt right for me. So, yeah. So then I was in sixth year and I was pregnant.
That's a really good Leaving Cert prep. And what did WIT do?
WIT, I think, freaked out for a while, like a good while. And then he kind of eventually slowly got it together.
Okay.
So Ella, like, sees him all the time and it's all good, but it definitely took a while.
Yeah. And what about, so you obviously had to tell school, yeah?
We had to tell school, yeah. So when, I think I was about 2 months-ish when I told my parents, and my dad was actually great, because I think in lots of ways, sometimes men can be a lot more black and white about things, whereas women can be a bit more grey. So I found when I told men that I knew, they were much more, not matter of fact, but they were like, what do you need? This is what you need. This is what's going to happen. Whereas women were much more, they probably understood the realities of it more, but they were much more involved in the emotional anxiety of it.
And do you think that's partially because they know that so much of the responsibility will land on you? Do you think it's almost like they're more disappointed for what you're going to have to go through?
Yeah.
Men can't understand that, perhaps.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, I don't know.
No, I think, yeah, I'd say that's definitely what it is. So my dad, I think, like, his first thing was like, he was like, oh, I quite like the idea of being a granda or whatever. And I think I was like, oh, I burst into tears because I was like the only girl, do you know what I mean? And I'm real like daddy's girl. So I was like, he's going to fucking hate me. And so my mom was more emotional, where she would have been, I thought would have been more level-headed. But she was like, after a few weeks of like, we went to the doctor and checked that it was like, it was actually, I was pregnant or whatever. We went to the school. And because my mom was like, you have to tell the school because even like insurance, they need to know that you're pregnant. And I was like, okay, so he had to go and tell the principal, and the principal at the time was a nun.
Oh, Jesus. Probably think it great. Put her in the laundry, name. Put her to work.
Her name.
Let's get some sheets done here.
Her name was Sister Basil.
Sister Basil.
Sister Basil. So we went and told Sister Basil. And she was quite matter of fact about it. I think what she said is, well, you're not the first girl in the school to be pregnant and you certainly won't be the last or whatever. It's very like, okay, grand, off you go. So that was very like, I'd say my mom probably, haven't asked her about that part, but I'd say she was probably expecting more like emotional support. Whereas like really like, okay, thanks for letting us know. There's the door. Like, best of luck with that. And she was like, oh, you can wear your tracksuit bums when your skirt won't fit you. I was like, cool.
Wow.
And then, then she was kind of getting old. I think she retired after that. But then she saw me in like the common area a few months later. And I was wearing tracksuit bums because my skirt didn't fit. And she made a big show of me like, why are you wearing your tracksuit bottoms? And I was just so embarrassed because I hadn't like made a big announcement to the year, like, everybody, I'm pregnant, you know, that. So I was like, I haven't told some people. I was like, this is really awkward. And I was kind of, I was in your office a few weeks ago with my mom. I'm pregnant. Oh, yes, you. Okay.
Oh, gee, she completely forgot.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it was definitely awkward in school.
Yeah. And like, were you... Because obviously 2002 is like right on that borderline where we're sort of moving on from the shame of this. But did you feel any like shame from your mother, or did you feel shame in school? Did you feel a lot of judgment from other people, or you felt like pretty supported?
I didn't feel shame from my family, but I definitely remember when I was out, I was definitely like layering up my clothes. I wasn't like...
You're trying to hide it.
Yeah. Definitely. I was like putting on big jackets. And if I think like I had my daughter in May, so like it wouldn't have
been timing, man. Fuck.
Wouldn't even been that cold. But I was like still rocking the fleeces and everything, you know what I mean? Like, I just didn't feel comfortable like being like, hey, here's me and my bump. I didn't, and I don't know if that was other people or if that was me. Like, all the teachers, maybe bar one, were super nice and like really supportive. And I think a lot of my friends probably didn't really know what to say to me, because they, like, I think there was an atmosphere of like, oh, thank fuck it wasn't me.
Yes. Because everyone's doing what you're doing. You're just the unlucky one, you know?
Yeah, like, fuck, she got caught. So I think, like, people, your friends, I'm sure, and they're only kids as well, like, they don't really know what to say to you, because they don't really have anything positive to say to you, because they're like, yeah, if that was me, I'd be fucked, so.
Yeah. They're just happy. They're just fucking delighted they're not pregnant.
Yeah. And I would have been the exact same. Like, what are you meant to say to somebody? Oh, it's going to be so magical, or like,
tits look great.
Yeah. Because they're all like sitting there planning like their debs, their 6-year holiday.
Yeah, they're thinking about who they're going to shift in fucking Bective.
Yeah, they're all like talking about their future and everything. And you're just like, yeah, well, I'm just going to like give birth and see what happens then.
Yeah. So, now, you're, so you're going to have a kid in May. You're supposed to do your leaving cert in June.
You do. So what was it? Oh, yeah. So
2003. When the fucking cat laughs. So. No, actually, 2003. 2003, when you're having this child.
Yes.
May 2003.
Yeah.
I was actually in fucking Aquadome, Tralee, filming the Des Bishop work experience. Yeah, it's funny.
Wow.
Different lives.
You had much better summer than me.
2003 was way better for me than it was for you. I was about to fucking take off.
I would have fucking loved that. No, I was not thinking about fame and stardom.
Okay, sorry. I've jumped ahead, because I shouldn't forget the most important part.
Oh.
Giving birth.
Oh, God.
Worried about your leaving, sir.
It was so bad, though, because, yeah, I had her on the 22nd of May, and then 13 days later is your leaving. So when I was, like, packing my hospital bag, I was putting, like, notes in.
Your little index cards?
Like, yeah.
It's like in between Brett's revised biz org.
Yeah. I didn't obviously look at anything, but I thought, like, oh, I'll bring them just in case. And the book in Irish was On Trial.
Well, I don't know the academic Irish.
Well, the On Trial, so you do this book in Irish for your leaving, and the story is about a young girl who gets pregnant by a local married man. And in the end, she's so distraught and whatever, and she's pregnant. I don't know if we actually know how young she is, but she's young. She ends up sticking her head in an oven.
Jesus.
And killing herself.
Oh my God. That's so what I'm you reading. Studied in Irish? No wonder people are traumatized by Irish.
And then I did home ec. And in home ec, we were doing the reproductive system. And I was just sitting there going, somebody give me a fucking break.
Yeah, just
and
enough.
We had sex ed in sixth year.
Oh, you did in sixth
yeah,
year?
Yeah, and I'm sitting late. There like, can I leave? Like, this is pointless. Like, this is embarrassing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it just seemed like, well, obviously you're hypersensitive to all those kind of things, but it just seemed like everything.
Yeah, it's like, a lot to deal with. I mean, listen, most people think about that horrible leaving cert year, the pressure they were under.
But yeah, like you're having I suppose a fucking it is horrible.
Baby. But yeah, but you're having a baby. It's fucking crazy to throw that on that.
Yeah, but it's like it happens of, a lot of people.
Two of the most stressful things that people will deal with in their life.
Yeah, it was stress.
You know, doing the leaving is like, I guarantee you, if people put down the top 20, I'm gonna keep it broad.
Yeah, yeah.
So you say top 20 most stressful moments of your life when they're 85 years old, I bet you Irish kids will have the leaving in the top 20.
Yeah, it is very stressful, isn't it?
Yeah, and then you throw a fucking pregnancy on top of that.
Yeah, it was bad. It did but take then, me a few years to recover, like, I'm not gonna lie.
No doubt. So anyway, come on, you're 18 years old, and where'd you go? The Coombe or the...
I went to Hollis Street.
Hollis Street.
Yeah, and
you were with your ma.
I was with my ma, and
WIT not to be seen.
No, but oh, like we were in contact, and things were like kind of, I suppose, thawing. And his mom knew now, and his family, and but that would have been like
too much.
Yeah, too intimate. You know what I mean?
Sure, like, but it is weird though how you're left with the whole burden.
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose if I'd told him to be there, he would have.
Yeah. But you didn't want that.
No, it would have.
Fair enough, yeah.
I don't know. It would have been a false, it would have been forced intimacy. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, yeah, 100%.
I wouldn't have, and I was still worried about my ginger pubes, so I was like, do you know what I mean?
But what if, it doesn't matter, but what if WIT, the minute you said you're pregnant, was like, I'm here for you. I want to be in your life.
No, I
guess it's hard if he's like, I'll be here for you. I want to be involved in your life, like, you know. I want to be involved. I want to raise our little Wexford bogger baby, like, you know.
No, I think we were both very different people. And it was just, you know, it was just that, like,
yeah.
To me, it was like, you know, it was the same as being on holidays in Crete when I was 18, or, you know what I mean? It was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was that kind of thing. So, no, I don't think so. I can't imagine. But he's a great guy, and like,
and they have a good relationship.
They have a great relationship, and he has children. And
she doesn't
now
mind
as
you
well.
Talking about this stuff.
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, she knows. Like, you know, he lives in Wexford. I live in Dublin. Like, you know,
yeah.
You have to kind of. There has to be some openness there about
sure.
how did that. You know. But no.
So like, anyway, just tell me about going to Holles Street. I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious.
So went to Holles Street. Oh, yeah. So at the time, I think one of my brothers was still living at home. And I was over like maybe 4 days, but I was getting really panicked because I was like, I need to do the leaving. But my big thing was, it wasn't so much the leaving. It was like, I don't want to have to repeat.
Mm.
I was like, I just need to get this done. Because I just felt like if I had to repeat, it'd be like reliving a fucking year of trauma. I was like, I can't. This has to be done. Like,
but you could have gone to the institute.
No, I couldn't. No, I just wanted to.
Why did you have to repeat? Did you have a baby? Did you just have a baby? Oh my God. Were you fat? All those girls from the road were probably like, oh my God.
He's from Wexford.
You're so fat. You see, he's from Wexford. Oh my God. Was he had freckles or what? Sorry, go ahead.
No, so there's a lot of pressure. So I was like out walking. I was like, come on. You know, you're meant to walk, eat curries and all this stuff. And then I was only like 4 days. 4 days over is absolutely nothing. And I went into labor at home in the house. It was like 11 or something. So
water broke or like?
No, water didn't break. Just started like getting contractions. And then we went into Holles Street. Did my dad, I'm sure my dad must have drove us in. I can't actually remember getting to the house to Holles Street. What I do remember is when you go in to like any maternity hospital, the first thing you need to do is you sit down and they ask you questions and you sign a form and you fill in the form. And I was just like, what the fuck's this? I'm in labor. Like, it was like, you know, like
yeah,
any,
like, hello?
Any appointment. Can you fill in this form? I was like, I'm in fucking labor. But like, you don't realize at the time that you've like another day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You think it's all about to, you're like, yeah. I'm about to take a shit here. Yeah. The kid's about to pop
you
out.
I think it's like the TV, you know what I mean? You're just like,
yeah.
Where's my stretcher? And then you go up in the lift and whatever. So they actually broke, if your waters don't break, they'll just break them for you. So it's like, how would I describe it? It's not a bad thing. It's like just a big release.
Gush.
Yeah, a big gush. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of warm. You're like, oh, that's kind of nice.
Well, what,
like,
do they stick something up there? How do they?
Yeah, it's like, I think
they,
it's just
pop
kinda,
it?
Yeah, pop it, yeah. But it doesn't hurt. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's fine. And
it's like
then,
popping a blister.
But then they said, yeah. Then they said to me, they're like, oh, you're in labor. You're like 2 centimeters, which they said is really good because a lot of time people go in and they're not actually, hasn't started.
You haven't dilated.
Yeah, so they're like, you're 2 centimeters. I was like, oh, brilliant. But then it went on for hours, like hours.
Painful.
Very
the
painful.
Usual. Like.
Yeah, everything was good. I didn't have like a cesarean or anything. I didn't get an epidural because I left too late.
Oh.
So I never got one. So I've never had one.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So you're totally natural.
Totally natural. Well, like gas and air, you know, like.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. But you see, like, my mom was there and she's a nurse and she's quite hippy-dippy. So she'd be like, you know, if you do it natural, you recover a lot quicker and da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, I'll give it a whirl. So then I had her and she was all healthy and everything. And
was that like the usual, like, immediate, like, this was the right thing, thank God?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big time. Yeah. Like I remember my friends came in to see me and I can't remember exactly what one of them said, but they were like kind of in shock because I was just like, so like, oh, wrap her up in the blanket and throw her up on my shoulder. And it all felt really natural. And then I went home and then what happened then? Well, then it would have been the leaving cert pretty quick.
That's unbelievable. Like,
so that would have been insane. It would have been insane, yeah. And then that summer, I was basically, like, I'm lucky in a way that I'm kind of naturally, I wouldn't say a loner, but I'm quite happy on my own. I like my own company. So I spent that whole summer walking with a buggy. I was just like, I just had this mantra in my head that's going to sound really bad, but I went through a rough year. The mantra in my head was just like, I'm not going to be a fat bitch. I'm not going to be a fat bitch. Because all my friends ever talked about it. Like, oh, when you have a kid, like, you're just like, everyone gets fat and stuff. And I was like, it's not happening to me.
plus you're 18. I'm so 18. It's still your main focus. Like, yeah, I want to be hot.
I'm not going down like this. I was like, fuck yous all. And then I remember I went to someone's birthday party like months later, like maybe 5 months later. And everyone was like really surprised. Like, oh my God, Emma, you look fucking great, Emma. And I was like, yes. And then I went to college in September.
You did?
Yeah.
Does. Where?
Well, IADT.
Oh my God. Which one?
The one at John Leary.
All right. What were you studying?
Business and arts management.
All right, cool. By the way, I have nothing against these. This is just a running gag. I don't want any.
In fairness though, even if I hadn't gotten pregnant that year, I got 335 points, or so 300 and something points, right? But the funny thing is that even if I hadn't gotten pregnant and had that stressful year, that's exactly the points I would have gotten.
What school did you go to, by the way?
Santa Maria.
Oh, it was Santa Maria. I was thinking might be that.
Why are you saying that? What are you
talking
about?
I don't know. I just had a feeling that was the right point. You didn't seem like a Loretto. You didn't seem like a Loretto girl to me.
Santa Maria, yeah, that's the school. So I went to college, did the 4 years.
The girl I nearly married was Loretto boarding school girl.
Oh.
Just so you know.
Okay.
A little bit of knowledge of the Rathfarnham schools.
That tells me all I need to know. Wow.
I'm only joking. You were getting into the class divisions of...
the middle classes.
Of the Dublin schools, yeah. You know?
So, yeah, that's the story.
That's amazing. That's great. It's very intriguing to go through that, an 18-year-old dealing with that. I know we have the snapper and we have all these things.
Yeah. But I think that's why it took me so long to do something like creative.
Well, of course.
In that kind of way, because...
You're a single mom.
I did, when I did business and arts management, even at that time, I did it because people... were saying to me, it's like a secret media course. The points are really low. Because you know the way media courses, journalism,
whatever, DCU.
It's very high points. I was like, I'm never going to get that. They're like, it's like a secret media course. You can kind of get into that stuff doing that course. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do that course. So I actually did do like, basically before I started doing comedy, I do like admin jobs. And then I do like production assistant, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I never kept that going because it would always be like sporadic work. You know, like, okay, you're on set tomorrow at like 7, you know, we'll finish whatever time you finish it. And I just felt so guilty doing that kind of work because, like, Ella, I was like, how can you get someone to mind your child? And we're like, I don't know when I'll be back. So,
yes.
So it's like, oh, I need a stable thing or whatever.
I need a proper job. Because I have a few more things I want to talk about, but I'm just curious, like, what supports did you have to be able to do college and then also to begin your career?
But just my parents.
That was it?
Yeah.
What about social welfare assistance?
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just the children's allowance?
No, I did get lone parents allowance because I didn't know about any of this stuff. Well, I knew it existed, but like it wasn't on my radar at all. And my dad was like, oh no, you're entitled to this, you're entitled to that. And I was like, really? And then I got, not at the start, but maybe my last year, I got a grant in college for childcare. But that was when Ella went to play school. But it wasn't like, you know, they do the free year now.
Yes.
They didn't exist
back then. Yeah.
So then when I was in fourth year, she was like in a bit of childcare and I had a part-time job like in a pub.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So you're really, you're clearly quietly like a grafter. Like none of these things seem to knock you at all.
I think, I don't know. I think I'm just like lucky that I have, for the most part, like a healthy head. Do you know what I mean? Like I've never really suffered from depression or anything the only thing I could say that I've ever had are like blues, like 3-day blues or something, but I've never had depression.
But you seem to be like a sort of a get on with it type of person. That's not to,
yeah, no,
I'm not
definitely
trying to diminish other people that may have struggled in your situation, because I think it's really difficult, but you do seem to have just taken it in stride.
I would be like a just get on with it kind of person. But then like, yeah, I had it. I did, like my parents did so much for me. Like, do you know what I mean? So
yeah, that was
thanks,
helpful.
Thanks, mom.
That was handy. But it's the same with, funnily enough, my little cousin Bella, who's like my niece.
Yes.
But she was born in similar situations to yourself, except her mother was a little older. Her mother is my cousin also, but she's like my sister. She's like my Irish sister.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, she was had a lot of help from the parents, but still, like, it's not easy.
Yeah. See, I don't think I realized.
The only reason, by the way, I said it in that context, because I'm going to Bella's now in fucking Turin. She's 19 years old and she's studying in Turin. I'm going to visit her on Sunday.
What is she doing?
Of course, you know Bella.
Yes.
I forget this because Bella ended up doing the door at the International. She's in circus school. She's
studying. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, she told me silks. She was like going to do circus school.
Yeah,
so
I'm going to visit her on Sunday. But it is amazing how fast it happens. But also, the parents thing helps, but it still doesn't change the fact that it's fucking.
I think it's hard no matter what. I didn't realize. I just thought it was because I was young. But then I was like, oh no, it's the same for everyone.
I think there's pros and cons too. Because I think when I was younger, I would have thought it was the greatest nightmare of all time to have stuck in that situation that you were in.
Yeah.
But now that I'm older, I feel like yes and no. Because the fucking energy is pretty handy.
Yeah, I know. You just, it's hard to know. Like,
you just don't know. I think everybody, you know. And in your situation, it almost feels like, well, look at you now. You got this whole other life. So can we just jump?
Because yes,
I know you have two other children now.
Yes.
And you have a partner that you're never going to marry because you don't really love him. And you've locked him into the fucking bedroom so we could do a podcast with the dogs upstairs.
He could be dead for months. I'm just like, oh, he's upstairs again. Oh, yes.
You ended up with a, when did you start working in FM 104?
I like literally a couple months ago.
Oh, okay. But you had a career, right? You were self sufficient.
Yes. Yeah. I was.
And
like,
then how the fuck do you decide to do comedy?
I started doing comedy because when I got in on this FOSS course actually because I was a lone parent, and it was that you could work in a local radio station. And I was like, wow.
But the local rate, did you have to have experience?
No.
So the FOSS course unrelated to the course you did in Dún Laoghaire?
Unrelated. So obviously I was like a shoo-in because they're like, oh, you've been to college and everything. Yeah. And part of that course or part of that radio thing was that they gave you money for funding. And I went and did a television course and I did a show reel. It was like kind of like this secret desire. And I sent it to producers because I would check TV programs to see who produced it and who made it. And then one guy responded and he was like, oh, you're pretty funny. You should do sketches. So I was like, okay. And I got a friend of mine to do some sketches with me and sent them off to him. And he was like, oh, they're great. And then he got me to audition for this pilot. Do you remember they used to do like pilots around Christmas time? And it was this hidden camera show.
The Fear?
No, it was before The Fear. They only did like one episode. But they got me out to audition, and the audition went really, really well. And he's like, oh, you're going to be in it. And I was like, yes. And then I was like, oh, just so you know, like, I'm pregnant.
Oh, you're pregnant again?
I was pregnant again.
Jesus Christ, why do you keep getting pregnant at the most important times in your life?
I know. I really fucked it up for myself, because the date that they were going to start filming was my due date.
Jesus Christ.
So I didn't get to do it. But at that time, I'd never had any like audition or any experience like that. So then all of a sudden, like, he wasn't getting back to me. And I was like, fuck, they're not going to use me. Because I was like, oh, it'd be fine. Honestly, even if it's like the next day, I'll be able to do it. So he was like, I'm sure he was like, yeah, we can't get this girl. So I was devastated, like fucking devastated. But he said to me, we had a chat after, and he was like, you know, just bad time. And he's like, you should do stand up. And I was like, okay.
Oh, he's the one that said it?
Yeah.
What company was it?
So his name is Mick Brennan, and he was in RTE. He actually works for joe.ie at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he said it to me. So I was like, yeah, that's how I'll fucking get in. So it wasn't like a big desire to do stand up.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
But it was just like something to do to, now that you've had a taste for that, you might be able to get into this world.
Yes. And I thought, oh, if I do stand up, I'll meet people who, like, I thought it was going to be this like really cool bohemian eclectic mix of people who were like writers and all worked in RTE, and just everyone was totally cool. And I'd just be like moving in all the I don't know what the fuck I thought it was going to be. But
you had a romantic notion of stand-up comedy as a world.
So I had Joe, and I think like, I had Joe, and I signed up for the Hate Me like 6 weeks later. I was like, this is fucking happening.
Oh, so you went to do an open mic?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what did Shane think about it? Shane being your partner.
Shane thought it was insane.
And you guys were settled, right? Like,
We were settled, yeah. And I just had a baby, and I was like, oh, I'm going to sign up for this open mic comedy night. And he was like, what the fuck?
Walking to the venue, I'm not going to be a fat bitch. I'm not going to be a fat bitch.
I always just love putting this pressure around pregnancy. I don't know why, but I was like, I'm gonna write a stand-up set now. So yeah, and then that was it.
And yeah,
and I loved it.
And you always had that. That was just your way. That sort of like low energy, kind of sardonic. That was your humor from the get-go? Did you find that?
No, that was it.
Yeah.
It's just a different version of me.
Yeah.
But it's definitely gotten more animated, only just because I've gotten more comfortable on stage, but it's still dry.
Yeah, like, it was dry.
It was always dry, but I didn't know I was dry until people told me.
Oh, right.
I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't think about like what's my style there.
And were you
people think about that? I don't know. I didn't anyway.
No, I mean, I remember like early days, Anne Gildy from The Newell is telling me it takes 5 years to find your voice. Or, you know, like people like to put the...
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't know. I honestly, like, different people have different journeys into stand-up.
Yes, yeah.
But like, I watched a lot of American stand-ups when I was growing up. But my Irish, in my Irish life, because I was in boarding school and then... You know, I was in college, but I was like fucked up from alcohol and drugs. Like I didn't really have a keen awareness of like what I liked as a stand-up.
Yes.
And I kind of got into stand-up before I had really sort of found myself looking at stand-up again. So when I got up, I just thought all I thought about was just making people laugh. I wasn't like other people started. Like when David O'Doherty started, he was much more aware of what was good and bad. He had his own standards. I had none. When I started.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just like, fucking, this is great, isn't it, to be up here?
Yeah. I know, they're letting us do this, like, wow.
Yeah, it's just great.
Yeah.
But, you know, but all ways into it are fine. You know, I think it's good if you're a bit more on top of it, you know?
Mm.
A bit more aware of the art form.
Yeah, I don't know if I was aware of the art. Well, like, I definitely sat down and wrote.
Yes.
You know, for the first time and practiced it out and was, like, very prepared.
How did you feel then that first time, 6 weeks after having a child?
I was really nervous. I think I turned up like really early, but I really
And you knew nobody, right?
I knew nobody.
Did you call with anybody?
No, but they were like, you need to tell people you're doing it. So I think I put it up like the day, like, oh, on Facebook. So a friend of mine came. I didn't want people to come that I knew. And my friend Laura from Wexford, her brother came. with his girlfriend. And I was just like, oh no, this is terrible.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to talk to them. So then when I did this set, he came up to me and he's like, oh, he's like, you'll win. You were the best. And I was like, really? And he's like, oh yeah, definitely. And when he said it to me, I kind of believed it. I was like, oh, okay. So then I was kind of glad that I knew a couple of people there.
Yeah, I think it's good to have people there. I had friends there my first night.
Yeah. So yeah, that was it. I just started trying to sign up to gigs and talk to people and how'd you get into this? And
yeah.
So yeah, I didn't think, that wasn't the plan. The plan was just to do stand up because I didn't know how any of it worked.
Yeah. And are you happy that it's basically become like a huge part of your life now, or you still consider it to be a way into something else?
No, I think I'm probably much more content now with it being what it is. So I think for a while I was probably trying to use it as something to get into something else or whatever.
Yes.
But I think, I think it's only a recent thing that I've probably matured and just enjoy it for what it is and actually really just enjoy it now.
Yeah, because it is a good thing to enjoy.
Yeah, so I really just enjoy it for, I'm on stage and that's the audience. And the goal of this is for all of us to have as much fun as possible. And that's the only thing now. For a long time, I think I was trying to like get other stuff out of it. But like, there's so few opportunities in Ireland anyway.
Anyway. And you've got three children, so.
Yeah, so I'm like, I might as well just actually just enjoy it.
But then on the flip side, there is a new freedom that didn't exist when I was starting out, which yeah. I kind of wish that it did, is the ability to just make your own content, which you've been pretty good at. You've had a few,
yeah.
I guess, semi-virals.
Yeah, some Rosa right Tralee stuff. One. Yeah, and I think that's funny, you know, that kind of way, like I'll stand by that.
And do you get a kick
that.
Out of that?
Yeah.
Because you're good at
it. I do, yeah.
But you got to keep it up. That's the problem. Have you been keeping it up?
I'm filming now some next weekend. So I do them with my cousin, Dan Dalton.
Right. Oh, so he's the one that helps you with the green screen stuff?
Yes.
Because I was wondering how you were doing that green screen.
I am not good with that stuff. So he helps me out. So we're going to film next weekend. But I do get a kick out of that. I liked if you see like friends tagging each other in things, you know, like... I'm arrayed, like you'll like this, or like that kind of gives me.
But I
buzz.
Think that's key for you, and I think especially because you've had a few good ones already. I think personally, if you keep it up, regularly, it can make a huge difference.
Yeah.
And then every now and then you get lucky with like a major viral.
Yeah.
And then you just never know.
You never know, but I know like lots of people. Some comedians have talked to me about videos, and they're kind of actually afraid to do them. But I suppose I made videos before I did stand-up, so I'm kind of, you know.
But one thing I've learned about the internet, that quality should be your lowest concern.
Yeah, well, you see, that's it.
Quantity is the...
But that's it. Like, some of them you put out and you think, like, it's fucking hilarious and nobody...
Oh.
And then there's ones that you're like, I really don't even want to put this up. And then
it takes off. I know, it's crazy.
So you just don't know. So I try to, like, not be too emotionally involved.
I had that I have this routine about consent, which I think is a good routine. Mm-hmm. I stand by the routine, but, you know, I was waiting till the end of my tour. I said, I'm put up this consent bit now and they'll all fucking share it, you know, because it's like, it's pretty right on,
you know?
And it's, you know, it's like an issue du jour, right? Like it's an important issue. So I fucking put it up like, just waiting for the praise, you know, waiting for the feminist army to come onto my side. Be like, you're so...
Did people comment? Tell us about the immersion.
No. It just didn't take off. You know, it didn't take off.
I know.
Which is totally fine because for starters, you shouldn't be like thinking that your consent bit is going to... But the point is that you think a thing is going to go and it doesn't go. And then I fucking casually banged up the fucking period sex bit. I casually banged up the period sex bit thinking nothing about it.
Yeah.
And now it's had 2.5 million views on Facebook.
I think that is actually the equation. The more thought you put into it, less.
It's true. I think
the cleverer it is, the less impact it's going to have.
100%. I'm not judging the period sex routine, but it's just like, and I'm not even speaking about myself, even for you.
Yeah.
It is a weird thing how some stuff can take off. I give you another example.
Yeah.
I have this stupid like Vicar Street
thing
that I've done for 15 years,
mm-hmm.
which is if somebody's from Malahide,
uh-huh.
I do a bit about driving through Coolock to Malahide.
Okay, yeah.
And I happened to film it there the last time I was in Vicar Street. I banged it up online and fucking it took off. And my golf club is out in the north side, and all the old women, they're all like, oh, Clare Hall is like a beacon. You know, it's like a dumbass local bit. You know, like bit that, like, if a comic from New York was in the crowd, you'd be like, I have to apologize for that fucking load of rubbish. Total takes off. I think the worst thing you can be is good when it comes to the internet.
I need to start
dumbing it down.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding, because your videos are good, actually.
No, but actually, I do think you have one of my biggest ones was this one I did making a sandwich, like a deli girl. And I wasn't going to put it up because I was like, this is fucking ridiculous. So like, you can't see the person. I'm just at this kitchen table. I'm like, butter or mayo? So I throw on the butter, and then just a little bit of red onion. I put on loads of onion, you know, like.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so bad. I'm not even going to try this. It went everywhere.
It's crazy, isn't it? And everyone's like, oh my God, my mom was like, you know, like whatever. Yeah. It kicks off in people.
And you see someone like, oh, sent chicken fillet rolls or whatever, like, and tagging people who used to work in delis.
Yes.
And all this, I just never thought. But I was nearly not going to put it up because I was like, this is
I know. I think you just got to put it up.
Yeah.
And I think worst case scenario is it just like keeps the algorithm ticking over for you, you know?
I know.
Like the algorithm needs to be fed. It's hungry.
I know. That's what it is, isn't it? Oh, there's too much of that in it, though.
There is a lot of that in it, but it works. You know, I mean, there's these kids on TikTok and they're like,
are you on TikTok?
I just got on it, but did like, you? It's not for us. But
I know.
But it's baffling to me. Like, but I can see it because I get transfixed. I'll see some like 18-year-old boy or girl, by the way.
Yes, yeah.
And they're just so confident in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And they're doing their stupid things. They're lip syncing, but I'm transfixed. I'm just like,
I know.
I'm almost transfixed for the TikTok viewers in that I'm going, I get how you can get sucked into this, especially like the easily influenced adolescent mind. I could see how it's so intimate, right? That like these people get sucked in, and like they'll probably be, in the next year or two, we're going to hear about the TikTok millionaires.
I know. I was on it a couple of months ago, and I could see that it was perfect for like passive watching. Because it's just so quick and like move. But then like the whole miming thing, and it's just the same
dumb as
us like learning the lyrics to songs back in the day.
But it is, that part is kind of mindless. But it's amazing that these kids are so into it. And what I find worrying about it is how much these people, and I'm not judging them because I know I would have been the same, but it's so clear that they just love looking at themselves while they're filming it. Like you can see them looking at themselves and just trying to be as good looking as they can possibly be.
Yeah.
And they've clearly bought like ring lights.
Yeah.
And they know how to do makeup. Mm. And they're obsessed with their image. And but the thing is that people that are watching it are very happy to watch them being obsessed with their image, which is fascinating.
Yeah. Fuck. But then I know myself, when I was a teenager, I was obsessed.
Yes. But myself, thank God, you know, we just had the mirror and pixelated Nokia pics, you know?
But I wouldn't pass the mirror without looking in it like, damn straight.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I get it. I'm not judging them because but you can see it, you know?
Yeah,
you can
I know.
See them mouthing the lyrics and like doing their little.
I know, you can see the dialogue inside their head, like what's happening. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I get it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to put content there.
You're not going to TikTok it?
I don't think the only thing
I like about TikTok is a couple of handy features for putting up a video on TikTok and then banging it up over on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
That's what I like about it. So, you know, a couple of stupid jokes.
Yeah.
I mean, I basically 50% of my TikTok jokes are like, why a 44-year-old shouldn't be on TikTok.
I probably will. I'll get on it in about 2 years. I always get on everything.
Yeah, but don't be late.
I'm always late, though. I'm always late. I got an Instagram so late.
Yeah,
me
too.
Can you hear them now?
I can't hear your children now.
No, it's not too late. No, they're...
Yeah, they're lucky it's not 20 years, but they're getting a fucking smack right now. And then you better get fucking pregnant. Like your mother, you slut mother.
But you know what? We go to the gym together. And at the start of the class...
You and Ella?
Yeah. At the start of the class, you know, they'll say, has anyone got any injuries or whatever? And then they'll say, anyone pregnant? And she thinks it's hilarious to pretend to walk out of the class like she's pregnant. And I'm like, Ella, that's not even funny.
That is funny.
Yeah, it is funny. But I was like, please don't do that to me. I was like, it's too much. I was like, no. Like, imagine I was a granny.
Now, I want to talk to you about one serious thing, but before we do, before we do.
Okay.
How is she with you doing comedy and she with your videos? And
she's fine. Like, so she has been in a lot of like the earlier videos. Because, well, no, she does. So how long am I doing it now? 6 years? 10? Oh, yeah. So she does remember when I didn't do it, but I suppose I've been doing it for quite a lot of her life. She's never expressed any issues.
But is it cool for her? Like, is it like a thing you think that she, like, her friends think is cool, or that she kind of keeps it separate? Or
I don't know if they think it's cool. Like, I think it's a couple of the parents have seen or heard different things, and the parents think it's cool.
Oh, right. The parents are intrigued by it.
Yeah, so she kind of gets a bit of a laugh out of that.
Right, okay.
So, no, I don't think she's, like, embarrassed about it or anything, but I don't think she's like, let me tell you about my mom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So she's quite the performer herself. It was so funny. She did a play in Fortune. She did the Wizard of Oz, and she was the Wicked Witch. And it was like watching myself on stage when I was like 16. It was the exact same mannerisms and everything. And I can see that she wants to do that kind of stuff, but she's not like prepared to like say, I want to be a performer.
Really?
Yeah.
And have you encouraged her?
I would a bit. Well, like, she's really good. And yeah. I get her, like, she's a good actress, but I think she's going to like, she wants to do like history in college. So I encourage
that.
What
kind of an idiot does fucking history in college?
Well, it's the perfect plan for someone who wants to be a performer, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what I did. Just in case you wonder why I brought that up. I was making fun of myself.
She's very
there.
Clever. She wants to do history. She's like a straight A student.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah. So she wants to do history, and that's her main focus. Yeah.
Plug your, what's your Instagram?
Emma Doran Comedian.
Emma Doran Comedian.
Yeah. It's obnoxious, isn't it?
No, it's fine. I'm sure there was an Emma Doran before that.
I don't know. I can't
remember. Any shows coming up? Because I'm putting this up tomorrow.
Do I have any shows?
Anything you want to plug?
No. Podcast, Up to 90.
Oh, yes. The Up to 90 podcast with Julie J.
With Julie J. Hey, Julie.
And she's been on The Shift. I didn't get you on The Shift to talk dirty, but I probably should have. You so many fucking kids.
I know a lot. I know very little and a lot.
Yeah, you're only like the fourth mother.
Oh, really?
I've ever interviewed.
I don't know what
else. We'll have you on again. We'll get you on The Shift.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much, Emma.
Thanks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.